I was offered some warm muffins in the youth room. And I had to tell them. I said, never trust a preacher who goes in to preach with a full stomach. I also say, never trust a skinny cook. So two things to remember. Jonah Kyle, never trust a skinny cook, and never trust a preacher who goes in with a full stomach. I do have a growing emptiness in my heart. I'm desperate to be filled. I've been asking the Lord, is this it? There should be something more to the faith that I hold on to so dearly. There should be more to that glory that God promises in His Word. And so with the emptiness in my heart, I've come to this congregation believing that the Lord will fill me up. Because there is a greatness out there that I should not miss in my life. And so even as we go into the Word of God this morning, I challenge you to look within. Look into your hearts this morning. Let it be that you find a reason to be filled. A reason to embrace brokenness. A reason for your heart to be crushed this morning. When the Word of God will come to you, may it not be that we sit here in the presence of the Lord with a seared conscience saying, none of these things will ever bother me. Back there where the coffee is placed, I was talking to three little boys. I was telling them about a story. They were very keen to hear. I said, I'll tell you a story. There was a boy. He was born, he lived, and he died. End of story. Too many times that is the story of so many Christians in this world. We come, we live, we are born, we live, we die. And the story ends right there. Probably we are going to add something here today. And they were ordained. And they died. Should that be the story of those who are called to be touched by the power of the Lord? Should that become our story this morning? Can we afford to let the world hear such a story? If not, let there be an emptiness in your heart that pleads before the presence of the Lord. Lord, fill me up because I need it so desperately. I need it. Do not leave this place empty. That's my prayer. And so I believe with all my heart, it will not be the eloquence of a man's words, not even the cadence in his voice, but the beat of the Lord's heart. May it come to wash over your soul this morning, that you may go out blazing for the sake of the gospel. Because the gospel was never so desperate to find men who could live for its sake. Too few are the laborers in the vineyard today. Too much is the harvest. Too degraded is this country become. Too much of depravity is seeping into the lives of so many millions. Where are the laborers? That is the question that must bombard our hearts this morning. Whatever happened to those who are meant to hold on to the gospel in their hands? Who are meant to speak the oracle? miracles of God, whose feet was meant to be beautiful, who would tread the ground and there would be fear in the hearts of men everywhere. And they would say, we have seen the Lord of the Christians. We have seen the power of the gospel. We have felt the miraculous hand of the Lord. Where are those Christians? May it be that in the beginning of this message, as the Holy Spirit comes and begins to knock on the door of your heart, you find the boldness to reach out and open and look to the Lord in desperation and say, Lord, begin your work in my heart. Begin your work. Some 3,000 years ago, the Bible says a voice was heard in the wilderness. The leaders of their day had failed miserably. God had chosen Saul to lead the nation. 1 Samuel chapter number 16, verse number 1. And I hope you can hear the voice of the Lord this morning. Be attentive to His words. And may these words come back to knock on the door of our heart. When the leaders of the land had miserably failed, the ones chosen by the Lord, and the Lord had chosen Saul to be the king of Israel, and he failed miserably. He would not do what God wanted him to do, but he would always want to do what he wanted himself to do. He wanted the whole world to come and scratch his back. It's as though we feel when we start to read his life, he wanted everyone. It was as though he was looking to the nation of Israel and say, God made you for my sake. Come scratch my back. He was rejected by the Lord. It was during this time the prophet went away because he did not even find the strength to harbor a dream. There was no strength left in him to dream. All glory had passed away. Leaders had failed. The Lord looked to Samuel and he said, how long will you sit here and mourn? It's a time of mourning. Don't you ever convince yourself as great citizens of America that you have been basking in prosperity. You who have been consoled by the greatness of this land, and even as patriotism comes and gives you the strength to believe that everything will be fine, I want you to know the time for mourning has come. Because this land, this great land, is getting ready to stack up corpses in the millions. All kinds of laws will be passed. There will be no honor left for the living. It is during such a time the voice of the Lord comes back to speak to us. How long will you sit here and mourn? The prophet had seen the city of Jerusalem, and the Lord said, now it is time for you to go to Bethlehem. The place that you have never been to, you need to go to Bethlehem. And the prophet began his journey to go to Bethlehem. It happened many years ago in India when I was a young man. I was traveling in a car with some friends. And And I still remember the friend, we were traveling and we were supposed to put in gas. My friend who was driving, he kept reminding us, we are running out of gas. And we were like young people, we did not care. We are like, it's okay, keep going, keep going. You cannot go. It took a long time for me to realize that you need gas to go further. We kept going, he kept reminding that guy. Hey, we are running out, we are running out, we are running out. We kept going, and then the vehicle stopped. Young guys, we don't know what's under the hood. He opens the hood, he does not know. They're all so different, so complicated. What are we supposed to do? So we call this old guy, and the old guy gave instructions to this young man. He put his hand, took out a pipe, and blew into the pipe. It was like the Holy Spirit went into the engine. And then he started, cranked it up, and it started. We called this old guy who instructed us to take the pipe off and blow, and we did that, and it started. And I called the old guy and said, we never knew there was still gas. And the wise man who had instructed us on the phone, he had only one thing to say. He said, young man, that is not gas. Your car is now running on the smell of gas. Your gas was gone a long time ago. All that is left there is the smell of gas, which will also be gone. Too long has the church been running on an empty tank. They have been running and running and running, and nobody seems to have reached the destination. Too many times they have set for themselves destinations, but in the course of time they have missed their destiny. That is the problem we are facing here today. We are just smelling the glory of the Lord and we are running. What are we supposed to do? Brother Mark, Brother Jonah, my dear brothers and sisters, my fathers and my mothers, I ask you a question today. When was the last time you really went into the presence of the Lord and you said, Lord, my tank is empty. Too long I have convinced myself it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, and I've moved on and on and on. I don't know when I'm going to fall down. I need to be filled, Lord. Anoint me. Ordain me, set me apart that I may run this course till the end, remain faithful, and finish the task that you have sent me for. It is the call that has come to us this morning. Call from the Lord. How long will you sit here? Mourning for those who are supposed to lead, who have failed. How long should we sit here? Get up and go to Bethlehem. And he went. And the story says that when he went to Bethlehem, the elders of the town, they came there and asked him, do you come in peace? And then he went and met the man, Jesse. He brought all his children, and finally David came there. Verse number 12. And the Bible says, and David stood before Samuel. He was a young man. He had a beautiful appearance. He was handsome. Looks like this verse is all about Jonah Kyle. Sorry about that, Mark. I wish this verse was about you. But there was a time this was definitely about you. He was glowing fine appearance and he was handsome. And the word of the Lord, I want you to look at that. And the Lord looked at Samuel and he said, "Arise, anoint this boy, for he is the one." I told this to Jonah and I'm telling this again. What if the entire history, the Lord in these last days chose Jonah Kyle as the one who would finish the task? What if of all the churches in the world, among the nations, what if you are the church the Lord chose? If you are the ones the Lord chose, finally, and after you, there will be nobody who will be chosen. He chose you to finish the task that he could draw the world to himself and he could come back. How important would that be? How dangerously important that is. Lest we forget how much he has vested interest upon our lives. Lest we forget. He was young. He was handsome. He was of a fine appearance, but it was none of those things that the Lord saw. It was the heart. It was the heart that was empty that wanted to be filled. May you find the reason this morning to say, "Lord, I don't want to look into the mirror and say, I am fine. I am beautiful. I don't want to convince myself I have a great personality. I don't want to convince myself that I can do great things. No, Lord, I am nothing. Brokenness has come into me and I'm standing here as empty, bereft of all my power. I am nothing. Fill me, Lord. Fill me." That is the call the Lord is asking you. Do not go to Jerusalem anymore. There is a robe of power. Do not look to Washington. There is a powerful decadence out there. Go to Bethlehem, because there is an emptiness of the heart there which I want you to find. And when you embrace it, I will raise you up. I will raise you up. There is something we need to understand here when we try to look into the call this morning. And the Bible says, Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse number 5, when the Lord chose the prophet Jeremiah, he looked at him and he said, "I chose you even before you were formed in the womb of your mother. I sanctified you. And even when you were in the womb, before you could come out into this world, I ordained you to be a prophet." Jonah Kyle, Mark Trailer, don't you ever forget that your ordination has a long time ago been fulfilled in the heart of God. All that we are doing here as a congregation today is confirming it for the glory of God. We just are confirming it. When I saw Jonah on Thursday, I said, "Jonah, I was supposed to come. I came to Shreveport, went back to Dallas, went to Houston, came here. It's been 17 hours, Jonah, to see you." I looked at him seriously, no joke. I said, "Make it count." You are millions of years in the making, man. Brother Mark, for millions and millions of years, you were in the making, in the heart of God, and he ordained you in his heart. Amen. How important it is that you understand the call and live. Live it out. It is a call for us to work for the gospel. A call that the Lord is placing upon your shoulder today to say, work for this gospel. And I tell you of a truth this morning. It is during our time we are seeing the death of the gospel in our world. When the gospel of Netflix is coming alive in the living rooms of millions of Christians. When the gospel of Apple is beginning to sleep on the beds with Christians. Oh, I don't know how many Christians go to bed with Apple beside them, much closer than their spouses. It is a time when there is a death of the gospel because the gospel of the greatest deals that Amazon is throwing at them is exciting them more than the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a time when the gospel of Facebook is going every single day in the palm of their hand and they are living it out, looking at it and liking it every single moment. God have mercy on us. Whatever happened to the gospel of Jesus Christ that is able to change the world? It is for such a time that you were chosen, Jonah. That is why it is dangerous when we think of it. That he chose you to put you into this world during a time like this. That he chose all of you to be Christians during a time such as this. When there is a cremation going on for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you believe, Jonah, that this call is so that you may work for the gospel? Do you believe that the gospel is the good news for salvation of all mankind? That when you want to search the truth, you don't go into Google to search the truth, but you go into the Word of God. Do you believe that this is the call the Lord is putting upon your life to work out the gospel? That the nations of the world will be able to know the one true God because He's working through your life, because you hold the gospel truly. Never let go of it for the whims and fancies of what the world is throwing at you. That's the kind of a man of God we want to see. That's the man of the Lord the world has missed for a long time. The gospel is dead. Do you believe that the gospel was planned in the heart of God? Do you believe it is the plan of the Lord to draw the world to Himself through this gospel and nothing else? If so, answer the call. And you say, Lord, I will work for this gospel. Stand for this gospel. Support this gospel. Spread this gospel everywhere. For the rest of your life. We have come to Bethlehem this morning. We have chosen to abandon Washington, the Jerusalem of our time. And we believe that it is in Bethlehem that Christ will raise us up. It is in Bethlehem that we will find the emptiness of our heart. It is in Bethlehem that we will hear the words of the Lord where He says, arise! I have chosen you. So it is not just the call that we are after this morning, the call to preach the gospel. It is the charge. We never forget the charge that is upon our lives. Remember the time when the man of God, the Apostle Paul, when he knew that his time was coming to leave this world, how he gave the charge to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. He says, I charge you, Timothy. It's not just about embracing the call. It is about getting charged. Otherwise we will be like that Duracell which promises so much but it is empty, chargeless. Doesn't mean anything. The It's like too many politicians of our time. Too much smoke. There is no fire. That's when we realize it's a lot of smoke machines that they are running out there in the Capitol building. Too many smoke machines. Confused a lot of us. We were hoping there was truly fire. This is the only time I saw so many dead people come alive in this country. So many dead people have been resurrected and they went and cast their vote. It's a beautiful thing. For a moment I felt the resurrection of the dead has already taken place. It is a terrible time we are living in. Terrible time. But it is during such a time the Lord is calling each one of us to be charged. Not just embrace the call for the work of the gospel, but to be charged that we may go out blazing. That people may feel the charge. And he looks at Timothy and he says, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 5. And he says, Timothy, my dear son, watch therefore. Watch. Endure the suffering. Christianity is the one thing that never promises us a very comfortable life. It'll be a terrible thing if we convinced ourselves that there is health, wealth, and prosperity promised to everyone who asks. It's not the way. There is a cross we are meant to bear. There is a suffering we are meant to endure. Watch, endure. Work the ministry that God has given to you and prove that there is this thing. That you are an evangelist, prove your ministry. It shouldn't be that we find another deacon today. You know that old deacon who prayed this prayer when he was praying for his pastor? He said, Lord, you keep him humble, we will keep him broke. We don't want such kind of deacons, brother. We want deacons who say, I will put myself like the deacon who was chosen during the early days, Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 6, verse number 1 to 5. And it says, and during those days when the women were not very happy with the men, the apostles looked and he said, choose some men among you who are wise, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who are men of God. And they chose Stephen. And Stephen was a man full of the Holy Ghost. He was the first deacon in the church. Such a man went about and he stood before the council and they looked at him and they said, this man is so glowing with the glory of the Lord. His face is the countenance of an angel. Stood there and preached the word as it is. And they stoned him to death. I charge you this morning. That you may go out blazing, that you may be willing to even die for the Lord Jesus Christ. We get into ministry not to find a living. And in the process of finding a living, don't you ever lose your life, my brother. Let us go after the life that the Lord has given to the church. He died for us, didn't he? They came, they were born, they lived, and they died. No. They found the power of the Lord. And that's how the story turned around. Remember the time when Jesus Christ met this young man? Luke chapter number 7, verse number 11 onward. And the next day Jesus was coming and he came to this village called Nain and a lot of people followed Jesus Christ. And he came to the gate of the city and there he saw an young man dead. Much of the city was there with that woman who was a widow. And Jesus looked at the woman, he had compassion on this lady and he said, do not weep, woman. And then as the people were carrying the coffin, as they stood, Jesus went and touched the coffin, and he had only one thing to say. He said, "Young man, I tell unto you, arise." He heard the call and he woke up. All that the church is looking is hearing the call. We got to rise. Do you hear the voice of the Lord which is telling you, "Young man, I tell unto you, arise. Young man, I tell unto you, arise." And he sat up and he gave the young man to his mother. Great fear came upon all people because the church had come alive. Young people had come alive. They were restored. I charge you, young man. There is a call upon your life for the work of the gospel. Hold on to it. Live it out. And if you have to die, die. We cannot stop there, but we have to go into the final chapter where we, as a church, we need to understand there is a call for the work of the gospel. There is a charge that is laid upon our lives. But then what about the church? What about the church? What are we to do as the church of God? There is this call that is upon us to go to Bethlehem, and it is holy. Live it up. There is this call that is upon our lives to pray for this men, and it is holy. So I call you this morning to live it up. There is a call that is upon our lives to support them in the ministry of the Lord. It is holy. So live it up. There is a call that is upon our lives to stand with them, to hold them accountable. So let us do it because it is holy. Let us live it up. Let us live it up. Let us live it up because we are the church. Because the gates of hell can never prevail against us. Amen. There are a few lines that were written. These lines make a huge difference. We are all on the road to Angel's Bay, a place where the angels live. What kind of a journey will that be? On the road to Angel's Bay, when Washington ceased to be, where the best looked so far and the worst had gripped their shore, when men allowed not Moses or the prophets or even the door, when chantings were heard everywhere and minarets rose by the sea, through gusty times they raised their sails. Those shores they truly wanted to see. On the road to Angel's Bay, those mortals they trudged their way. When politics had won and morals had lost, on the road to Angel's Bay, on the road to Angel's Bay, when together they somehow found the way. The road was narrow, but their hope was warm, and so they crossed over to Angel's Bay. May that be the story of our times, where you are not deterred by the politics of the land or the depravity that is found in the hearts of men, but you believe with all your heart that you have a journey to take this day. That the shores of the angels as they wait upon the church of God. Let us go knowing that it is narrow the road that we have chosen. But let our hearts be filled with a hope that is warm. Let us go finishing the task of the gospel. Never been a time where there were so few when the harvest was so full. So what shall we do? We come to the final task. We have heard the call. We have known the charge. We have also come to know what the church needs to do. So finally, we need to commit ourselves. What best can we do this morning? Other than this, that we follow our Savior. The last words when he committed himself and he said, Lord, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. That's the best we can do this morning when we see these men. And together, will you rise with me to say, Lord, we commit these men into your hands. We have trusted politicians, they have failed us. We have trusted governments and they have crushed us. We have trusted the system of the land, we have trusted the American dream. None of those things have mattered anymore. We come to you, Lord, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we, into your hands, commit their spirit. May it be said that they did not seek to make a living because they had found a life. May it be said about you, Jonah. May it be so said about you, my brothers and sisters, that they did not seek to climb a corporate ladder somewhere because they had found the stairway to heaven. May it be said about you that they became miserable for the gospel of Jesus Christ because they had found somehow the comfort of heaven. May that be the story of our lives. Will you stand with me this morning? As we ordain these men in the presence of the Lord, and before the men come up, I want to challenge you this morning. What has become of the gospel in your life? Whatever happened to the power of God? Whatever happened to the feet which were meant to be beautiful? Whatever happened to the hearts that needed to hear the gospel through your life? Whatever happened to the gospel? If God is speaking in your heart, then you, wherever you are, you want to come, take your place at the altar, do it. If you want to close your eyes and you want to give your heart to the Lord today in that place, do it. But settle your business with the Lord. Say, Lord, may your gospel come alive in my life. If you are in need of workers, Lord, I am here. Can you say that? Can you say that to the Lord? Lord, your gospel will not die during my time because I am coming alive. Make me alive, Lord. I will live out your gospel. Every eye closed and every head bowed. As the musicians play, who will join me at the altar?